Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, today, I have a special treat. I have Diane Wing, who is a radio personality. She has her own radio show. She also is an author. She is a healer of sorts, and she's got many other talents that, aside from being a spiritual being, that we will explore during this hour. Diane wants to live in a world where people feel inspired, create their ideal future, and experience a sense of wonder at everyday magic. As an author and inner magic practitioner, she has published 4 books: The True Nature of Energy, Transforming Anxiety into Tranquility, The True Nature of Tarot, and Your Path to Personal Empowerment, Thorn Manor and Other Bizarre Tales, and Coven. The Scroll of the 4 Winds, all are available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and iBooks. They belong on your wish list and gift list. Diane is founder of Wing Academy of Unfoldment, a virtual center for applied metaphysics and personal development. She offers multimedia self-study online courses and live programs and classes. When it comes to getting unstuck and feeling great about life, her 9-word philosophy is, let go, be grateful, stay open, and see the magic. Find out more at DianeWing.com. And so I'd like to welcome Diane. How are you today?
Hi, David. I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, too. It's quite a life. I've learned to make lemonade out of lemons and have realized that it's all good, even the stuff I used to think was bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all about gratitude. Everything that happens is a lesson. There's a lesson in it, and the reward is getting the lesson. And once we get it, then the negativity goes away.
Right. And if we don't get it, chances are it's going to come back to us in an even more challenging form.
Absolutely, and create patterns that we are destined to repeat until we get it.
And for people who don't believe in reincarnation, consider this. Whatever challenges you have not resolved in past lives will possibly present themselves again. And if you don't get it right in this life, so to speak, chances are you're going to have to come back again. Now, you can believe it or not, but I believe that to be true. What do you think, Diane?
I believe in reincarnation, and I also believe that you're going to come back with the people you need to resolve the conflicts with, too. So if you think that this is the end of the relationship just because the physical life in this current lifetime ends, that's not necessarily the case.
Right. Well, we could probably talk for hours and hours, but let's kind of get down to the nitty-gritty and explore your own spiritual journey, your current life situation, your dreams and aspirations, and your books. So I wondered if you would tell me what your spiritual background is.
Okay, my spiritual background started when I was really little. I mean, I remember feeling a sense of universal energy is what I call it. You can call it God or spirit or whatever, you know, resonates for you. But I always felt it around me. I always felt like things had energy in them, but I wasn't quite sure at that time really how to define it. So I was fortunate enough to have chosen parents to come into this life with that allowed me to explore different religions, different forms of spirituality, who even had friends who would talk about metaphysics and point me to different books to read over the years. And so I was able to do some deep exploration of how I felt about spirituality my whole life. And there have even been times when I felt nothing. I felt a sense of disconnect mm-hmm. with a spirit of sorts. And that was what I call the dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. That was probably the worst period of my life because I went too far towards science and I was actually negating a whole part of myself in that way.
Well, I've experienced the dark night of the soul, and I've gone into the abyss with suicide attempts, and so I have a sense of what you're talking about. I'm wondering what your early concept of God was.
I remember feeling very loved by the universe. Not only by my family in the physical realm, but also by the universe. And I felt very supported. I was able to manifest pretty easily, but I felt like it was because of the partnership I was experiencing. And it wasn't because of any formal definition of God that I came up with as a result of a prescribed religion. While I did experience all sorts of religious ceremonies, and my friends had different belief systems, you know, Jewish and Catholic and Protestant and Hindu and Buddhist and Quaker. And so I got to experience all of those and understood what their definitions were of it, of what God was, but it never felt right to me. I never could understand the concept of man in the sky bearded judging me. I always mm-hmm. felt like there was a loving, supportive energy, but that it didn't have a gender associated with it. And so the more I researched this and the more I tried to understand what was going on, the more I felt like it's everything that's around us. It's nature. It's within everything. Even inanimate objects have this energy running through it. So God is everywhere. It's within everything and every person.
Yes.
And every being of whatever sort that looks like. But there's no gender and there's no judgment. It's
right.
here to support us. And I feel
right.
like it's neutral. It's there's no love. There's no hate. There's none of that human emotion associated with it. But rather, we imprint on this energy. Is what I feel. And so whatever we're imprinting is what we're getting back.
Interesting.
So if there's a lot of hate in the world, mm-hmm. it ripples through everything. People feel mm-hmm. it on a lot of different levels. It may manifest as anxiety or depression or whatever that looks like. But when there's more joy in the world, when we're bringing a higher vibration and we're imprinting the universal energy with that happiness, with that gratitude, with you know, that love, then we're raising the vibration of the planet. So it's really up to us what we're experiencing. It's our responsibility. It has nothing to do with what we're being made to do by, air quote, God.
Well, that is a key word, responsibility. That's something that I was introduced to early on in life and forgot about until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, where there's a sign on the wall that says, I am responsible. And I forgot that we're in this life to help each other, that as long as I have a breath in my body, I can at least say a prayer. And if somebody reaches out for help and I'm able to do it in taking care of myself at the same time, I am responsible to help that person. What do you think about that?
I think absolutely we need to help each other. At the same time, I don't believe in enabling. I believe that people need to want the help, and we need to allow them the latitude to make their own mistakes, to learn the lessons. Because I know a lot of people who try to rescue other people, and they keep exhibiting the same patterns of behavior over and over again, despite all the help and the effort being made by others. They need to be allowed to fail and to learn on their own. By enabling and trying to rescue, we are stepping in their karmic path and not allowing them to get the lessons that they need, that they have set up for themselves in this lifetime.
Yeah, robbing them of their dignity and their ability to learn from their mistakes.
Yes. At the same time, I believe in high service to others, and that's very different. So high service is where we use our gifts to uplift others.
Yes.
Whatever that gift may be, and, you know, if somebody asks us for our help and we are able to give it to them, that's fine. But if somebody repeatedly asks for help and we see them not taking responsibility for themselves, then we are doing them a disservice.
Okay. I agree with you.
Yeah, you know, or even if we're helping to the point of exhaustion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the bottom line is that we need to exercise self-care. I mean, that's a form of self-love, and you can't give it away unless you have it within you. And it can only lead to things like resentment and exhaustion, as you say, and that's not what I believe God wants for us. So now, in speaking about the concept of God, has that evolved at all for you, or has that remained pretty much a state of being in your life?
I would say it's been fairly consistent, although it has been refined over time.
Okay.
What
does God mean to you today?
Pretty much the same as what I described. It's an energy that is available to us that shows us where we are gifted, where our talents are, and our purpose in this life. Everybody's looking for their purpose. The purpose is to know the self, connect to the divine will, and exert our personal will in order to express God's will. So we come in with certain gifts, certain abilities, and when we don't use those for the highest good of others, then that to me would be something that would be against God. Right? That would be sin of sorts.
Of sorts, yes. I don't believe in the traditional concept of sin. I believe it is simply an error in thought or action, and that it is correctable, and that there's no such thing as hell other than the hell that we create in this life. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've read that the original definition of sin was lack of striving to achieve.
Oh, that's
interesting. And so by withholding our gifts, by not seeking to understand ourselves and take responsibility and express our gifts in the world in the highest good of ourselves and others, that would be the more closely the original definition of sin.
I like that. Well, what are your current spiritual practices and how do they help you?
Okay, well, I do pray. And prayers are actually intentions.
Yes.
And prayers need to include gratitude in
yes.
them. But we need to be clear on what we're asking for. So my spiritual practice, there's a lot of time spent on, okay, what is it that I'm really asking for that's underlying my request to the universe? What is my motivation for wanting that thing? And attract that energy. And what it really is a means of focused attention to direct your energy, to understand how that energy is moving in attracting the energy that you seek.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Can you give me some other examples?
Well, walking in the woods is a huge part of my spiritual practice because to me, the trees have such amazing energy, and it's actually pulling quite a bit of universal God energy in onto this planet through the trees. So it's kind of like a Christian would experience church, except I'm outside, and I'm feeling that energy, and I'm feeling the protection and the uplifting. And I get a lot of ideas when I'm walking through the forest because it's clearing my energy of any negativity, any accumulated muddy energies, and then it's sending positive energy, and it's allowing me to open to messages from the universe so that I understand my next project or opportunity or what to do about whatever issue might pop up. Because our connection to God is critical in getting messages.
Let me ask you a question. When you're putting out an intention, and I quite often frame them in the form of affirmations in terms of something I wish to possess as if I possessed it now, do you believe in, you talked about being specific, but something that I add is, or something even better.
I usually clarify it with for the highest good.
Ah, I like
of
that.
Of myself and those around me. So
I like that.
That way, if what you're asking for is not for your highest good or the highest good of those around you, then it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
and that's
kind
of like a safeguard. Because I've seen people ask for stuff, they got it, and then, oh, man, it's not a good thing.
Well, they say
they
be careful what you pray for.
That's right. That's
yeah, because
exactly
you might
right.
just get it. You might just get
yes.
it. Well, what other spiritual practices do you employ?
Well, I don't know if you would call it a spiritual practice, but I do do tarot and astrology readings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am a conduit for people to get the messages that they need. Once again, I always ask for their highest good. And so a big part of my spiritual practice is helping others come into their power. It's critical for me to help them. So, but again, only if they ask me to. I'll never say, hey, you know, you're giving away your power. That's up to them to understand.
That hits on something you and I were discussing earlier today, and that is only offer help if it's asked for. Do not proselytize. Do not try to sway somebody over to your opinion. Respect everybody's beliefs and opinions as being valid, and it really boils down to acceptance.
That's
I'm
right.
okay, you're okay.
Right. Every path is valid. You know, if you're comfortable with where you are, fine. You don't need to do anything. If you're feeling a sense of discomfort, if you're feeling like something's got to change and it's making you anxious, depressed, unable to move forward, you don't feel inspired, then you have to decide that something's got to change. And those
mm-hmm.
are the kinds of things that I help people with. They usually come to me when they've tried everything else and nothing's worked.
Okay. Well, when one gets to that place where they're feeling uncomfortable or anxious or panic-stricken, however dire the circumstances are, it seems to me that it's a call for action. It's not enough to wish for something.
Absolutely. And saying all the affirmations in the world are never going to get you there.
Right.
See, I don't separate spirituality from my day-to-day life. So you keep asking me for spiritual practices, but these are just my practices. It's not spiritual or not spiritual.
I understand. And I think that that is the basis for sound, healthy living. Because if one is not being spiritual in their life, one is deviating from the path of their soul. And so I need to seek guidance from my higher power or my spirit guides, whatever you want to call it or them, in order to determine what is the next best action for me to take. Because if I leave it to my own ego that thinks it knows everything, I'm going to be headed down the wrong path more often than not.
Yes. I mean, self-trust is critical. And I teach many people tarot and astrology and to use tools like that in order to move their energy in a way where they can open to that intuitive message. But it's not hard to learn the meanings of things and memorize them. What's hard is trusting yourself and trusting the message that comes through and your ability to connect to the universal energy. You can't do any of this work without spirit, without the universal energy, without God. I personally don't use guides or anything like that. I'm monotheistic. I believe in the one. I believe in the connection to the one. I do know many people who use guides, and those are aspects of the one.
Yes.
But I feel more comfortable going direct and tapping in. So I feel like the message is clearer and cleaner for me. However people choose to do this, it's a very personal way of connecting, right? That's why it's important for everybody to define God for themselves. And I mean really define it. Don't go simply by what you were told your whole life to believe. Sit down and say to yourself, what do I think, given my experience, what do I believe? And if you still come up with it's a man in the sky or whatever, that's fine. But if you're feeling disconnected from that, your likelihood of making a full-blown connection is less.
I would like to explore the difference between religion and spirituality from your point of view.
Okay, well, to me, religion equals rules, and they're man-made rules that you have to follow in order to get from A to B. And they are normally, from what I've seen, controlling. They take away your power to decide for yourself what is right and what is wrong. What you need to do in this life and what you don't. Sometimes the rules take people off track, and so that they can't see clearly, they can't see objectively what needs to be done. They're only seeing it through the perspective of that particular religion and its belief system. So again, it's really important from a spiritual perspective to know what you believe at the root, at the core of your being, and follow that guidance. Follow your own guidance. Follow the guidance of spirit. Open to it. A lot of people can't open because they have all these rules in their head that they can't escape. And so I know a lot of people struggling with that transition. You know, so like it makes me laugh every time I hear it. I'm a recovering Catholic, you know, because of the guilt that was laid on them. And there are, you know, Catholicism isn't the only one. There are many religions that use guilt as a power play, you know, for people. But spirituality takes all of that away, and so you don't have to feel guilty. You just have to know who you are and understand yourself and feel comfortable with yourself and trust the connection that's direct between you and spirit. You don't need all that other stuff. If,
right.
You know, I mean, some people like the camaraderie religion. You know, it's like any community, any group, any tribe. So if you want to be part of a group, that's one thing. But don't confuse that with actual spirituality.
Mm-hmm. When you were talking about people figuring out what God means to them, and I've heard it said, if the God you have is not working for you, invent a new one. Throw away the old one. So
there you go.
Okay, let's talk about people searching for God. What suggestions would you make to somebody in that situation?
Okay, back to really examine what you've been taught your whole life. See
mm-hmm.
if it really resonates with you. Do you feel
mm-hmm.
aligned with that? Or do you feel like you're starting to pull away from that? If you don't believe that, what you've always been taught, now that's kind of a murky in-between, and that's where the anxiety comes in. Oh, man, you know, if I don't believe this anymore, then what do I believe?
Mm-hmm.
And so there may be some discomfort in the transition, but that's okay. Just stay with the discomfort. Be in the now. And that's your perfect opportunity to ask, and, you know, I mean ask spirit, for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
How should I approach this? You know, show me the way that I need to get to connect with you, connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then trust and do what comes through. People don't trust themselves.
No, they don't.
And that's really, you know, their power has been stripped from them because they've been taught to follow.
What do you mean by the now? I think I know, but let's clarify it for the audience.
Well, in this moment,
mm-hmm.
in this minute that we're speaking, right?
So, is there any other moment?
Well, the one that follows that, I guess I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I've heard it said that we perceive time in a series of moments. We perceive it in a linear fashion. But I've heard other people say that all time is taking place simultaneously. And that's why Mary Blake, who is a multi-life therapist, can help somebody achieve an altered state of consciousness where they go back to a point in time before something traumatic happens and can rewrite history in that life. Now, we can't do that in this life, but it's an interesting concept, something to think about.
Well, here's the thing. If you stay present in the current moment and understand
mm-hmm.
what you're feeling and ask for anything that has to do with the way you're feeling in that present moment, then you're going to get all of that. You're going to understand where all of it is coming from if you allow that. At the same time, if you look for your foundational beliefs and you change just one of them, it changes everything on every level and in every moment.
Great.
So there are ways where you can make, you know, that one significant change, and it changes at every level that you can imagine.
Likewise, she says that once you make a change in a previous life, it affects all of your lives. So that's another interesting thought for people to consider. Now, you talked about
the dark...
I'm not
sure you can change... Well, I'm not sure I agree that you change something in a past life. I mean, it's already occurred. And
right.
So by understanding what happened, that's different than actually changing it. And like in Reiki practice, in Reiki practice, so you can send energy either forward or back to heal
mm-hmm.
that moment,
mm-hmm.
to change your perspective on what may have happened. And because
mm-hmm.
I believe perception is reality, only in that way are you changing that energy. You're not changing what actually happened, but you're changing the way you're perceiving it.
Okay. Well, earlier you were talking about the dark night of the soul. Now, would you refer to that as having been a faith crisis for yourself?
Yeah, it was like I wasn't really believing in anything. I was very into physics at the time. I still love physics, but there's a balance that I found to be important for me. And so too much in either direction creates an imbalance. And so I didn't feel that love and support like I did when I was little. I felt very alone, I guess is the best way to describe it. Like something had left me. There was a void. And it wasn't until I recaptured that I felt balanced again and I felt whole again. But it was a very dark, lonely feeling at that time. And that was like in my late teens.
Okay. What would you say to somebody that's experiencing a faith crisis?
You have to explore the darkness. You have to stay in that darkness and look at it and say, why is this happening? What is it that it's conjuring for me? What is it that I'm feeling about this? You know, what led me to this? And once you start to realize what led you there, the way out starts to show itself. It's different for everybody. But
Yes. So
many times they just want to get back into the light. But the darkness is essential. You have to go into the dark shadow self. We can't negate that. It's part of who we are.
We have to embrace it.
Yes.
I couldn't agree more. Well, let's take a brief break. I'm going to run an ad on my latest book, Shades of Gay, which is available on Amazon.com. It's received all 5 out of 5 star reviews, and the ad will speak for itself. And then we will return to speak with Diane Wing.
Prepare to be shocked. Prepare to be moved. Prepare to laugh. Prepare to cry. And prepare to be inspired. Dive into David Clark's latest book, Shades of Gay, and you will find yourself plunged into the trenches of sexual addiction. You will embark upon a kaleidoscopic tour from the abyss to higher ground. In the beginning, it was love at first sight when Daniel and Mark met, but through the years, that same love became tainted. Daniel, an alcoholic and sex addict, has found himself unable to resist the lure of other men. When Mark discovers his infidelity, he leaves Daniel, who begins a dark descent into sexual tryst after tryst. Shades of Gay reveals the myriad desires a lost man can permit his body and soul to revel in, despite the pain they bring. But can such fleeting moments of pleasure bring meaning to life? Will Daniel realize the love he had with Mark is worth more than the sweat spent in other men's beds?
And please be aware that the book is explicit in nature, as is 50 Shades of Grey, and that there are other books by the same title. So you need to search it by looking up Shades of Gay by David Clark, spelled with an E. Now, we're talking with Diane Wing today, a spiritual being having a human experience. And now I'd like to talk a little bit about your radio show, Diane. How did you become involved in radio, and would you tell us about your show?
My first experience in radio was in college, and the regular DJ host wasn't able to do the show one night and asked me if I wanted to do it. And I did it, and I loved it. I thought, well, you know, this is fun, and people were calling in from the dorms and requesting stuff and talking on the air, and it was great. It was fun. And then with the advent of technology, it made it possible for so many of us to have a voice on the internet and having our own shows. And what I really wanted to do with Wing Academy Radio was talk about applied metaphysics, because so many times we hear about a spiritual concept, we hear about practices and certain buzzwords, and then we have no idea how to use that information. And to me, you can have all the theories in the world, and you can read as much as you want, but if you can't apply it, it's kind of useless information. So my show brings on guests where they talk about their ways of applying spiritual concepts in the everyday world. And like I mentioned before, to me, spirituality is part of life and yourself, and it's there's no separation. Like, there's no 20 minutes to practice spirituality or a specific ritual or a meditation technique, and then the rest of the time you're just doing whatever. This is, it's always. So how do we do that? And that's what my show is about. And you can get those shows on my website, DianeWing.com, and go into free stuff and media, and then click on Wing Academy Radio.
And when does your show air, and how do people find it?
It's pre-recorded. They're 30 minutes long, so you don't have to put a lot of time aside to get a quick hit of knowledge. So you can play them on demand anytime you want.
Great. Well, let's talk about your book, The True Nature of Energy. In it, you say it helps people become more energetically aware. Why is this important?
Because so many times we react emotionally to something, but we don't look at the energy that underlies it. So if you've ever walked into a room and felt like you didn't want to be there, or you meet a person and you have an instant dislike for that person, well, what's really going on? You may be sensing the energies that are inherent in that person, in the environment, but you don't trust it because you don't have any evidence, any tangible evidence to go by. And back to self-trust, right? We get these messages all day long, but we don't trust what we're getting. People who are empathic especially pick up energies from people and places and things even more so. And they have a hard time separating themselves and what they feel from the emotions and problems of those around them. So I know a lot of people who are empathic and are so sensitive, they're on antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds, but they're not the ones who are really experiencing those things. They're just picking it up off of the people they're living with or their group of friends, and there's no separation for them.
Interesting.
So being energetically aware is really about knowing where your boundaries are, where does your energy stop and somebody else's begins. Energetic awareness is even good for when you're shopping at a secondhand store or at a flea market. So if you pick something up and you feel great when you're holding it, that's the energy of that piece. But if you pick something up and you start to feel trepidation, if you start feeling like uncomfortable or just there's something not right, put it back. Don't get that thing because it holds the energy of the people who used it before.
Or who
clothing,
made it.
Jewelry.
Yeah. I have a dear friend who's listening, and she, like myself, are very empathic. What suggestions would you make to both of us to shield ourselves from negative energies?
Yeah, I have a whole section on shielding in my book because it's really important for everybody, but especially if you're empathic. So in the morning, before you face the world, before you leave the house, I suggest grounding. So pulling energy up, you know, from the earth and into your body, and then protecting with white light coming down from the sky. You can get that in my book, the full exercise, or you can go on my website and get the article. Again, free stuff, articles, grounding and centering.
Now, which book is this, dear?
This is The True Nature of Energy, Transforming Anxiety into Tranquility. Okay, so ground from below, protect from above. And then when you get home, there's a dumping exercise that you go through, starting with your head and taking it all the way down your body, clearing the emotions, any physical issues, any worries, and just dumping it into the ground and standing there until you feel like you're empty. And then walking 10 feet away, because you don't want to pull in all the stuff you just dumped, and pull in fresh energy from the earth. And hands down, whenever I take people through this exercise, I ask them how they feel after they've dumped all the negativity. And they said, oh, my God, everything looks brighter. Everything looks more colorful. And it's because there's a real physical effect from this intangible stuff that we hold on to. And a lot of people have a hard time letting it go. So being energetically aware also means understanding when you're holding on to something and why. I've worked on people, like Reiki clients, who say they want to let go of something, and then when I go to work on them, it won't come out. They're not allowing it. And I can't force it to come out. They have to want to.
I think that's important to remember, because so many of us perceive that control is coming from the outside, that God is controlling, the church is controlling, other people are controlling us, complain, 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 blame, blame, blame. And ultimately, we have all the control.
And, that's right.
It's a matter of reclaiming our power.
That's exactly right. And the book will take you through, there's 30 exercises in there, and there's also my Wing Vibrational Scale quiz, so you can see where you're vibrating. You could take it online, or you could take it manually in the book and find out where you're vibrating at the time that you take the quiz. And keep in mind that your energy and your vibrational frequency changes depending on what you're experiencing.
Let's talk about vibration and the importance of that.
Okay, well, lower level vibrations, they're heavier, they're denser. This is when you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. It's when you're feeling like a heaviness in your chest, a tightness in your throat. That's when you know that your vibrational level is down. As opposed to that lightness of being you feel when you're excited and happy and inspired. Doesn't that feel different? That's when you know that your frequency is much higher. And the higher we vibrate, the closer it is to the God frequency, the universal energy frequency.
So important to remain present.
Yes, because that's where you can get really connected, not only to spirit, but to yourself. To be aware of when you shift down into those lower level frequencies. Because it's not only you that experiences it, it's everybody around you. You've encountered people before where, you know, people are gathered in a room and they might be talking and having fun, and a particular person walks in the room and suddenly the energy feels heavier. Have you ever experienced that?
Sure have.
Yeah, they are bringing dense, lower-level frequencies with them into the room. It's exacerbated by complaining and jealousy and hatred and anger and all those things that drag us down. So to be aware of when it's happening, I have a lot of exercises in the book where you can lift yourself out of that. Again, you will have much more control. The key is to recognize when it's happening, and that's the hardest part. That requires self-awareness.
Right, right. And that's not an easy commodity to come by.
Right.
It requires work, and
yes,
a lot of people are just downright lazy. You're not going to become a concert pianist unless you practice at least 8 hours every day. Likewise, you're not going to become highly evolved spiritually unless you put into practice the principles that you've learned. You can have all the quote-unquote right theories in the world, but unless you put them into practice, I'm sorry, my dear, it's not going to work.
Right. Well, I am a magical practitioner. There is no magic bullet. I can tell you that for a fact. It doesn't exist. The work is essential to get to where you want to be. You know, this whole idea of let me just say my mantra or my affirmation every day and then I'll just go sit on the couch and wait for things to happen. This instant gratification, you know, and if it doesn't happen very quickly, then that giving up response that tends to occur, you're going to stay right where you are. And you know what? For those folks, again, it's fine. No judgment here. If that's where you're comfortable, then that's fine. But stop complaining about it. Accept
that like
this
that.
Is where you want to be.
Yeah, I like that. There should be no judgment. And we should eliminate the should word from our vocabulary.
Exactly.
Anything else
so
you want to tell us about your book?
Well, the book addresses all of this stuff. It even addresses the guilt that we place on ourselves with the word should, among other things. We put so much pressure on ourselves, and a lot of it comes from the anticipation of what might happen.
Projection.
What we think we want to happen, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it does or not, now you're feeling the stress of it. So my book, by becoming more energetically conscious, your stress level's going to go down. How great would that be?
Yeah.
Stress will kill you.
It sure will. It causes disease or dis-ease within oneself.
Right.
What is inner magic?
Inner magic is our gift that we were given in this lifetime to express into the world. And I've heard people say, well, I don't have any gifts. I don't, you know. And I'll say, well, what about the way you do such and such? Oh, well, I just do that. Like, that's just an easy thing for me. Right, because that's your gift. That's your inner magic. Nobody else has such an easy time doing what you do. And so start to recognize what your particular inner magic is.
How can you do that?
Well, you can start by making a list of all the things that people compliment you on or come to you for or have always told you, hey, you know, you're good at that, or the things that you loved to do as a child that you found easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then take that and start to circle anything that looks similar. Right, that has a certain theme, whether it's a creative kind of thing or a technical kind of thing, and see what patterns you notice. And then you'll be able to drill down into, you know, what it is that your gift is, where your inner magic comes in. And then it's not enough to identify it, but it's then important to understand how to use it. This is a lot of what I do, the work I do with my coaching clients, where we identify the inner magic, and then we understand where they can use this to manifest what they want in their life. And that includes how to use it in high service to others.
Well, let's talk a little bit about intuition. What is intuition, and how does a person know they have intuitive ability?
Every single person on this planet is intuitive. Those who call themselves psychics, you know, it's like a range of anything else. Some people have more, some people have less. Some people do it differently than others. Some people use tools, some people don't have to, but every single person has intuition. So think about the last time you got a message from the universe to yourself and it said, make a right. Oh, and then you start arguing with yourself. No, I always go left. I have to make a left. And then you hit this giant traffic jam.
Right.
You got the hit. You got the intuitive download. You just ignored it. You actually went as far as arguing with it.
So it's a matter of trusting your gut.
Absolutely. But all day long, we get these messages. Moms get them. They, you know, things are quiet. But they know something's wrong. They just know it. There's no doubt. When it's an intuitive hit, There is absolutely no doubt that it's true. You don't need to question it. But you're going to until you can prove to yourself that it's true. So what I recommend is the folks who are noticing this about themselves, start just bringing a notebook with you and write the date, write what the intuitive hit was, and then write it in the last column, use that to validate it. So, you know, the universe told me make a right, I made a left, I hit the traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your validation. And the more you can see it, the more you can track it, the more you're going to start to believe it.
Well, let's talk about a couple of things here. You mentioned the word manifestation, and you mentioned to me prediction. How do you know the difference between prediction and creating your future? And what is manifestation, and how can you bring that about?
Okay, I don't believe in prediction. There are too many variables. Too many things have to happen in concert with each other. And when people are trying to force something to happen, it may not happen in the way that it was meant to be, because the universe is the only all-knowing, pervasive energy that aligns things as they should be for the highest good. So if I'm doing a reading, I can see the energies as they exist right in the moment that I'm doing the reading and what it's moving toward. That client can leave my presence, make a decision that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe in predicting the future. I believe in creating our future through conscious choices, through an intentional direction of our energies. You know,
that
if you
would
think
be manifestation,
back to the,
right?
Well, manifestation is bringing into the physical our desires, right?
Okay.
Something specific.
Okay.
So if you're looking for a relationship, let's say, and a lot of people are, but they keep coming up with the wrong people, well, they're asking for it in a way that isn't for their highest good. So to manifest something, you think about the what, not the how. That's first of all. So what do you want? A lot of people ask for money so they can buy a house. Well, that's the how. What they want is the house. So if you focus on the what, then allow the universe to orchestrate it so it happens for your highest good. It may happen in a way that you wouldn't even have been able to come up with if your life depended on it. I've seen it happen so many times where it's just some crazy thing that happens to give the person what they've asked for, in the way of scholarships or whatever that might look like. That doesn't even require money.
Okay.
So when you're asking for a relationship, don't ask for the physical attributes of that person. Rather, ask for your right relationship that will give you the feeling that you want in that relationship. So it might be you want an affectionate person who makes you feel valued. That's a lot different than asking for 6 feet tall, dark hair, whatever.
Right.
Right.
Well, you know, we're coming up to the end of the hour. It's just gone like lickety-split. Let's just talk briefly about Wing Academy of Unfoldment. What is Unfoldment, and what is the Wing Academy of Unfoldment?
Okay, Wing Academy is my school, and Unfoldment is peeling back the layers of ourselves. Nothing happens all at once, and so it's about going into the layers of ourselves like an onion and peeling it back and letting the next thing bubble up and peeling that back until we get to the core, the true nature of the person. We uncover it. We unfold it. We allow it to come forward naturally and in a way that is comfortable and where the behaviors can follow the nature. So many of us go against our true nature by trying to go with a prescribed way of being. back to that those religious rules and whatever, parental expectations, etc. But with unfoldment, we're getting to the core of your being. And so I use different metaphysical methods. We use tools and even learning tarot. And I, in my book, The True Nature of Tarot, Your Path to Personal Empowerment, it's that way because by understanding the cards and understanding what they mean to you and connecting to them personally and from your unique perspective, you are coming into yourself. You're getting to know yourself at a much deeper level.
Well, thank you. Can you run 3 minutes over?
Sure.
Okay. What is your vision for yourself and what is your vision for the world?
Okay. Well, my vision for myself is to just have a peaceful, harmonious life where I'm helping for the good of others and where I'm able to be as creative as I want to be. And for the world, I want people to feel inspired. I want people to feel happy. I want them to know that it's possible, but not without the work. So, you know, I want the world, my vision for the world is that people are vibrating at a much higher level, that they're taking responsibility, that they're happily in the process of self-discovery and self-development. And for those that aren't, again, that's fine too. But, you know, look to see what makes you happy on a daily basis and connect with that joy. Connect with what is right for you. And that's my vision for the world.
Beautiful. Can one person raise consciousness of all?
No, but they can contribute to brightening the energetic pool.
What about Jesus Christ?
Well, I believe that he was a teacher and that his messages have been misconstrued and have caused war and everything else. So I don't believe that he, even if he was standing before us now, would say that he alone can do anything by himself.
I agree with that. Well, thank you, Diane. It's been a pleasure to have you today. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.